To access. And now I turn our meeting over to the lovely Leanne. Thank you, Leanne, so much.
Hi, everyone. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm very happy to be here. I'm happy to see all these faces that I know and don't know. Brief qualification. I've been in the rooms since November of 2001, and I have come to understand that it was 9/11 and me being in Manhattan that day that took my overeating to the point where it was truly insane. It hadn't actually been sane up to that point either, but after that experience, it went really, really off the rails completely. And I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I knew that what was happening was not usual or normal. But I didn't know how to deal with it. And I came into the rooms by the grace of God, and I have never left since. I have had some real good periods of abstinence. I have not been struck abstinent, but I have been able to work to be abstinent, and I am thankful for that. I'm thankful to be able to speak tonight and share a little bit of what I've learned about service. So tradition 9 is about service. And I really go back to this book. This is the AA 12 and 12. And it was a very good friend of mine when I came into the program, as was the big book. And this book and the big book helped me try to figure out not only what was going on in my head, but what I could do about it. So I want to read the long form tradition 9 from the front of this book. It says, AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. And underneath it says, special service boards and committees. The General Service Conference, the Board of Trustees, and group committees cannot issue directives to AA members or groups. AAs can't be dictated to individually or collectively. Absence of coercion works because unless each AA follows suggested steps to recovery, he signs his own death warrant. Some condition applies to the group. Suffering in love, disciplinarians. Difference between spirit of authority and spirit of service. Aim of our services is to bring sobriety within reach of all who want it. So I was struck when I walked into the rooms by the notion that nobody could tell me that I was an overeater, that I had to figure it out for myself and I had to claim my seat or not. And that was kind of the first time in my life that people hadn't had an opinion about what I did with food. So I thought that was different. And I thought it was kind of fundamentally interesting, right? That the only reason that I was sitting in a chair in a meeting was because I wanted to be sat in that chair, in that meeting at that moment. And to me, Tradition 9 is an extension of that. By saying that overeaters cannot be dictated to, that nobody can say that I'm an overeater, and that each group is autonomous, making its own decisions within the spirit and traditions of the overall fellowship, is very profound to me. So we do have people that do service and are paid for the service in a way. We have a group of wonderful people in the Albuquerque, New Mexico area, and they keep, you know, all the businessy stuff going. They run the OA.org website, though as a volunteer who just spent a lot of time working through the website, there are volunteers who go through the website and make sure that the content works, that there's no broken links, that the links resolve to what they're supposed to resolve to. And I did not know that there was such a thing of service. So you've got the paid people who maintain the website and you've got the volunteers that maintain the content. And this is because there's not a power structure, there's a service structure within our fellowship. Now, when I first came in, I remember being told that I could help put out the books and I could help put away the books. And I thought, okay, so here's something I can do to make me feel part of and not so uncomfortable. Because I walked in the room and I'm like, what am I doing here? Who are these people? What are they talking about? How does this all work? oh my God, I'm so uncomfortable. I can't stand it. I want to eat something. I figured out that probably wasn't the right behavior for where I was, but I really remember that discomfort. And so that started me doing service. And my first sponsor said, you know, you really have to show up and do some service. And she started explaining that being in a meeting was service, that sharing in a meeting was service, that leading a meeting was service. And gradually over time, I started to do service above the group level, and I started to get involved in So, and we have Central Jersey Intergroup, which is up on the group chat. So if you need a place to make a seventh tradition, that's a good place as far as I'm concerned. And what an intergroup is a collection of meetings. And what an intergroup does is support the meetings in its area. And we have roughly 40 meetings in Central Jersey. And what intergroup does is we liaise with OA.org. We liaise with Region 7, which is the regional service structure of OA. And we actually get support materials, and we provide those support materials to the individual meetings so that some meeting may put together a workshop. And a meeting in Central Jersey may want to do something a little different. And so that workshop material that's been developed someplace else can be shared and can be used and just passed along. There's no cost for this. It's just a support structure. So I started to understand that showing up at an intergroup meeting was really service and that there was work to be done there. So I started going to intergroup regularly. I've been going to intergroup regularly for most of my time in the rooms, probably at least the last 10 or 12 years. Intergroup has its own opportunities for service. I used to run the newsletter for Central Jersey for quite some time, and then I passed the service along. I was able to go to World Service, and I went in person in Albuquerque a while back. I lost my abstinence. I got it back. And I am now the Region 7 rep. Unfortunately, it's virtual right now. And I'm also World Service rep, and we're actually going to have a World Service conference, though it's looking that it's going to be virtual instead of in person. So by understanding that this structure, the support structure, extends way back behind the meeting structure and goes back up the chain to Albuquerque, and participating in that, I've met people from all around the world who are overeaters, who are in recovery or not, who are giving service, who are putting themselves forward and participating, because we have a lot of work to do to keep the fellowship going. And as mentioned, we really don't pay a lot of people to do that service. We want to step forward and do that service. I heard very early on that service is slimming. And for me, service makes me committed to showing up, to doing stuff that's useful. And the whole goal of is carry the message to people who still suffer, to pass the word along and to carry it forward. So service is something, the problem with service is there's the notion of rotation of service, that when you're in a job, you shouldn't sit in that job for too long. You should pass the job along. And yet I see meetings with treasurers, for example, who can't pass the bag, because nobody wants to do that treasury job because everybody's terrified it's going to be hard, or it's going to be too much, or it's going to be scary, or they're going to fail somehow. And I just want to say that doing things in a way has convinced me that there's a lot of things that I can do in my life that I didn't think I could do before. So speaking in front of people, I mean, obviously I'm speaking in front of you now. I have stood up at World Service. I've taken the center mic. Sorry, no one, I spoke at the con microphone. And I took a position on something that was up for a vote. And there were hundreds of people in the room. And I was able to stand there and within my 3 minutes say why I was against the motion and why I thought it should be reconsidered. I don't think I would have had the nerve or the courage or the ability to even articulate my thoughts until I actually, you know, got into program, started to stretch and reach and do a little bit more than I think I used to think I could. So at the meeting level, at the region level, at the individual intergroup level, and at world, there's work to be done to keep the fellowship going. And it's important to take a job and to give the job to someone else and to support the people that come after me to help them feel comfortable to do that little bit of reach and that little bit of stretch and take on a responsibility that maybe they were hesitant about. So I feel very strongly about service. I pitch for service. I do service. You know, I sell merch. I design T-shirts. I ran a retreat in our intergroup for over 10 years, and I've taught people how to do that work, and I've passed it on. So I'm here to say, you know, service is not fatal. It's not more than a teeny bit scary. And it is a gift from my heart that is incredibly precious, because it's not that I'm doing something we could pay someone to do. I'm doing work out of love and out of a sense of commitment to this program, which deepens my desire to stay here and which deepens my desire to try something new. But I would recap my journey through service. I don't know if it's okay to take questions, but I certainly will take questions in the chat if it's not okay to take them live, because I can speak about all of the different service levels that we have, including committee levels at World Service.